it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello once again, Vaughan Bennison joining you for this episode of New Horizons. Very warm welcome to the program. Today we go back to two topics that we've covered numerous times in the last couple of years on this program: audio description on Australian television, or the shameful lack thereof, and also discussing automatic teller machines and touchscreen FPOS terminals. We're joined today by Lauren Henley, Policy and Advocacy Coordinator with Blind Citizens Australia. Lauren, welcome back. Some mixed news on the audio description front this time round.
Yeah, definitely. So listeners will probably be aware, Vaughan, that we've been waiting for quite some time for the government to publicly release the final report from the Audio Description Working Group. And that's the working group that the Minister for Communications established in April last year to explore the possibilities around the implementation of a permanent audio description service on Australian television. Now, that report was handed down to the government in December 2017, and it's taken around 5 months for it to be released to the public. So given that there was such a significant delay, we were hopeful that there would be some sort of a statement released with that report indicating what the minister plans to do in the future to move forward with implementing a permanent service, but that's not what we saw at all.
Oh, really?
No. So it was a very, very brief and vague statement about the need to undertake further policy work around audio description on television. There was no information around a timeframe for looking at this policy work or any indication of what the policy work actually was.
So haven't we got enough policies around this already? I mean, we've had a trial in 2012 of audio description on free-to-air television, and we had a trial in 2015-16 of the audio description on iView. How much more work do we really need?
We don't need any, Vaughan. It's ridiculous. And when the audio description working group was announced last year, we saw it as a stalling tactic more than anything else, but we committed to the process because we were led to believe that the minister was very serious about implementing a permanent service and that that process would result in tangible change for people who are blind or vision impaired. But this is really, really disappointing given we did commit to that process wholeheartedly with the expectation that there'd be something positive at the end of it, and still we're no better off than we were before the audio description working group was established. We've had enough reports and enough recommendations, and we just need to get on with it.
So where do we go from here?
Well, what we'd really like our members to do, and all of the people listening to the program today, is to call up the Minister for Communications, Mitch Fifield, and let him know how frustrated you are that still there's been no positive action towards implementing a permanent audio description service on Australian television. So call his office and harass him, send emails, do anything you can. We need to make a lot of noise about this because that's why we still aren't getting anywhere with it. We just need to be really, really loud and obnoxious, and the squeakiest wheel usually gets the most attention. So apart from that, we're also looking at a number of other strategies. We're working with the Greens and Labor at the moment, who have been very supportive of audio description on television, and we're looking at introducing an amendment bill into Parliament which would amend the Broadcasting Services Act to introduce minimum targets for audio description on Australian television. And we're also looking at lodging a complaint with the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which is the international treaty body that monitors compliance with the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So the reason we'd be lodging that complaint is to say that the government is not meeting its obligations under the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, because they're failing to take all appropriate measures to implement a permanent audio description service. And that's something that is explicitly stated under Article 30 of the Convention. It refers to access to television and audio description.
My understanding is that that body isn't a legislative body, and it's also a bit of a toothless tiger in many ways, because it has little power to actually force the government to do anything. Is that the case?
Yeah, look, that is the case. They don't make legally binding decisions, but they do hands down recommendations to governments. And I guess what we'd be looking to do is get media traction with lodging that complaint more than anything. It may or may not have some sort of implication for the federal government. Once we see that process through, they might really be scared of the committee and decide that, yes, they actually need to do something because they've been named and shamed on an international platform. But it's important to understand that that's not the only strategy we're looking at, because we know that may not give us the results we want. And so we're looking at these other legislative processes within Australia as well.
Mm. Well, if there's anyone out there who happens to know Mitch, take him down the pub for a beer and drill it into his head, because very clearly something needs to be done about this. We got captioning well over 20 years ago in this country, and it is absolutely shameful that we currently don't have any audio description in Australia.
That's exactly right. The government, well, the current government has made it very clear that they're very anti-regulation. They don't want to introduce any sort of regulatory measures that would force broadcasters to provide this service. But they did it for captioning 20 years ago. It's existed for a long time. So why is audio description any different?
Hmm. Has Labor given any indication as to if they were to win the next election, whether they would introduce audio description, or is it just something that they're giving lip service to at this point?
Yeah, look, we're still in the process of going back to all the political parties and saying, can you make an election promise around this? So we're yet to receive a firm commitment from Labor. But certainly when we had some legislative amendments before Parliament last year, when we were doing some lobbying work around the broadcast reform package, Labor stated in Parliament that they would be committed to introducing a permanent service, and they voted positively on the bill that we were looking to introduce. So that's certainly something that we can come back to and say, well, this is what you said in Parliament in 2017, so why have you changed your tactics? But we are hopeful that they will support it if they get in.
There's some more movement on things like touchscreen FPOS terminals and also inaccessible automatic teller machines. Lauren, what's happening there?
Yeah, that's right, Vaughn. So again, we like to look at a number of different strategies when we're advocating on these issues. And people will probably already be aware that Commonwealth Bank is looking to appear in court later this year because of the inaccessible Albert machine. And there's a couple of people who are blind or vision impaired who are taking them to task over that. So that's a really positive step forward. But we want to use every strategy we can to try and get some change on this issue. So at the moment, there's a Royal Commission into misconduct in the banking and financial services industry that's underway. And we want to use that mechanism to try and get the message across to the Royal Commission that the introduction of these banking services that are touchscreen only and do not provide adequate access for people who are blind or vision impaired are causing a really systemic breach of privacy and breaching the dignity and independence of people who are blind or vision impaired. So what we're asking people to do is, if you come across an inaccessible touchscreen FPOS machine or an ATM, consider lodging a submission with the Royal Commission. They've got a really simple online form if people do have internet access. It just asks you a few questions about the bank that you're complaining about, what the actual issue is, what you'd like to see happen to resolve your complaints. But there's also ways that you can contact the Royal Commission by phone or by email if you need assistance to lodge a submission. I don't have those details on me now, but if people contact me at the BCA office, then I'm more than happy to pass those details on.
Excellent. And we're still doing the postcard campaign against the Albert terminals?
Yep, absolutely, Vaughn. So again, that's another strategy that we've put in place, and it's to try and give our supporters and our members a tool to use if they do come across one of these inaccessible FPOS machines in a community setting, because it can be really, really difficult to get the message across to the customer service representative about why these machines aren't adequate for people who are blind or vision impaired. So you can contact BCA and get some of these postcards. So the postcards just aim to get the message across to the customer service representative that this solution will not meet the needs of the majority of your customers, and could you please speak to your manager about trying to put a different system in place and at least bringing it to their attention that this device is discriminating against customers who are blind or vision impaired.
I think it's worth being clear about this, Lauren. I know there's been some discussion on social media and other forums about the usability of Albert terminals. It's not simply that it's absolutely unusable to anybody who's blind or vision impaired, is it? That's not really the issue.
No, that's not the issue, Vaughn. And I think the important lesson we've learned in all of this is that when banks, or anyone for that matter, is looking to implement some sort of a touchscreen device, it's okay to undertake user testing. But with the Albert, for example, that user testing initially took place in a closed environment, a very quiet environment where people could hear the feedback from the machine very clearly. They could take their time with it. They weren't under any sort of pressure to pay. Whereas if you have a look at the situations where people are encountering these devices now, it's usually really crowded environments like it might be a restaurant or a shop, there's a lot of people queued up behind you, so you're under pressure because you don't want to hold other people up. And because of the background noise, even if you have headphones in, you can't necessarily hear the audible output from the device.
And I'm given to understand, too, that part of the problem with user testing is that very often the users who actually test these things are people who are keen technology users. And often the people who don't get the opportunity to test them are the people who really aren't up to speed with technology and for whom these pieces of machinery are the most difficult.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Vaughn. So it's something like 70% of people who are blind or vision impaired are over the age of 65. And certainly there's a lot of people that are above that age bracket that are quite comfortable with gesture-based technology, but not everyone is. And the other thing we're really concerned about with the rollout of these products is the lack of consistency, because we've got the Albert at the moment. It uses one sort of platform and a certain set of gestures. But unless there's standards that say how these things are meant to be designed and implemented, then there's nothing to stop the ANZ and Westpac bringing out their own devices that you have to interact with in a completely different way. And so you're not really going to know which one you're encountering at any given time in order to make the determination of how you actually need to interact with it to enter your PIN.
Yes, I could see that could be a huge problem. Is there currently a way of remedying the situation, do you think?
Look, not currently, but we're certainly looking at avenues that might assist us too in the future. So Graham Innes is currently heading up an inquiry into banking accessibility. And what that inquiry is looking to do is implement some banking accessibility principles. So we just prepared a submission on the draft principles. And what we're concerned about is, again, they do really give banks a lot of guidance to follow in terms of how to make something accessible, but we're concerned about the consistency. So that's something that we've driven home really strongly in that submission, is that we want to see some sort of clear guidance to banks in terms of the different protocols they implement for gesture-based technology, especially to make sure it's all the same. We can use it in the same way.
Lauren, thanks once again for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, Vaughn.
Lauren Henley there. And if you'd like to know more information, you can call Lauren on 1-800-033-660. 1-800-033-660. That is the Blind Citizens Australia office number, in fact. And if you'd like any information on anything to do with blindness or vision impairment, you're welcome to call that number at any time. Don't forget, there is a new telephone information service if you'd like to hear some information about what's happening in the world of blindness and low vision in your state. And also, if you want to hear about BCA's national campaigns and other pieces of information, you'll find it on that telephone service. If you'd like to have a look at the website, then the address there is www.bca.org.au, bca.org.au. And if you'd like to contact BCA by email, you may contact bca@bca.org.au. If you'd like to donate to Blind Citizens Australia, all donations are welcome, and anything over $2, of course, is tax deductible. Then you can have a look on the website. You'll find out there how you can do that, a number of different ways that you can donate. You can make a one-off donation, or you could donate regularly if you wanted to through our giving program, which is called BCA Backers. And that simply works by giving a small donation from your credit card every month. If you'd like to know more, as I said, contact Blind Citizens Australia or have a look at the website. That's it for this week's program. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. Join you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.